This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا رب هل من توبة تمحو الخطايا والذنوب وتزيل هم القلب عني والكآبة والشحوب أدعوك في ليل بهيم والدمع مترارا سكين أنت المؤمل والمعين وأنت يا رب المغيث.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. It's narrated by Abi Abd al-Rahman ibn Shatt al-Mandud and collected by At-Tabarani that a very old man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was almost in his 80s and his eyebrows were almost like closing his eyes. And he said, Prophet of Allah, I have committed so many sins, so much so that if they were to be distributed amongst mankind, it would destroy them. Would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept me if I go back and repent? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, he said, do you bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah? And do you bear witness that I am the messenger of Allah? And the man said, yes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept you and forgive you. At that point, the man, you know, couldn't believe himself. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Ghadarati, Ya Fajarati, O Prophet of Allah, what about the major sins that I have committed? What about my treacheries? Like, I have betrayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times. I have violated the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times. And the Prophet sallam said, Allah will accept you and will forgive you. And the man turned away from the Prophet sallam, so happy, saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah, every time I share this hadith, it brings very meaningful thoughts to my mind. It's a message of hope. And this is why the topic today is about tawbah. What's the meaning of tawbah? And what are the things that we should make tawbah from? Who should make tawbah? What type of tawbah or repentance does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expect from us? And what are the conditions of tawbah that if I were to fulfill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept and guarantee that my tawbah is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And are there any stories of people who made tawbah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven them? And the last question would be, when should I make tawbah? So to start with, the word tawbah in the Arabic language stems from taba. And taba in the Arabic language means aada or aba, which means to go back or to resort to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, I'm so sorry because of my voice. Meaning, and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you need a resort, go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All doors are locked, maybe by midnight, or before midnight. But there's a door that's open 24/7. It's never closed. It's the door of Allah. He said in Surah number 39, ayah number 53, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. All my servants, not you sent, but he said asrafu. We have gone to the extreme in committing all types of sins. We have committed all the major sins that you might think of. عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all types of sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفِرُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, He is the all-forgiving, the all-merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the linguistic meaning of tawbah. It's to go back. Resort to. But the technical meaning of tawbah is to admit our sins and to go back to Allah and seek His forgiveness. The next question is, out of which should we make tawbah? We should make tawbah out of two types of sins, minor sins and major sins, as-sagha'ir wal-kaba'ir. And before I go into talking about them, sometimes people might ask this question and they say, can you tell me if this sin is minor or major? And the scholars answer this question by saying, لا تنظر إلى حجم المعصية ولكن انظر من تعصي. Do not ask about the size of the sin, whether it's minor or major, but think about who are you disobeying. You're disobeying Allah, who gave you everything. He gave you the eyes that you might use to disobey Him. He gave you the hands. He gave you the tongue. He gave you the ears and the hearing. He gave you the heart. He gave you the brain. All these blessings are His. And you are entrusted with them. And this is why, if you go to Sahih al-Bukhari, you will know that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, the believer looks upon his sins as if they are a mountain, a huge mountain. It's about to crumble and fall on his chest, destroying him or her. But a heedless person, they see their sins as if it's a fly that stopped somewhere on his face or her face, and they did like that. It just goes away. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, and it's also in al-Bukhari, he was talking to the first generation, the first century after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. He said to them, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ أَفْعَالًا هِيَ فِي أَعْيُنِكُمْ أَدَقُّ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ إِلَّا نَعُدُّهَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْمُوبِقَاتِ. You do things and you see them in your eyesight, as if they are a hair or a strand of hair. And we used to look upon them at the time of the Prophet as if they are deadly sins, deadly major sins. He's talking to the first century, not now, after 14 centuries. Things that we do sometimes and we take them lightly, like slandering, gossiping, lying. And these are major sins. So, go back. You should make tawbah from minor sins and major sins. And the good news is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported in al-Bukhari, and the hadith is narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-salatu ila as-salah, al-jumu'ah ila al-jumu'ah, wa ramadan ila ramadan, al-umrah ila al-umrah, al-hajj ila al-hajj, kaffaratu lima baynahuma, ma lam tughsha al-kaba'ir. Any minor sins that you might commit between one salah and the other, between one friend, one Friday and the other, between one Ramadan and the other, between one Umrah and the other, between one Hajj and the other, Allah will forgive those minor sins, as long as the person stays away. As long as the person stays away from the major sins. As regarding the major sins, that could be another topic, because there are so many sins that people take lightly without realizing that they are major sins. Take for example, some people lie every day, and when you talk to them, they say, it's a white lie. SubhanAllah. Who gave you the authority to color lies? White lie, yellowish lie, brownish lie. A lie is a lie. It's a major sin. And SubhanAllah. One time, a man came to me and I said, I don't know what to do with my son and also with my daughter. They keep lying. I did everything possible. I don't know how can I help them to stop lying. And I said, listen, you must have been learning lying somewhere. And it starts at home. When I gave him an example, it was an eye-opener to him. And he started raising his eyebrows. I said, you know what? When the phone rings, what do you do? That's what we do. Just turn the phone, look, see that. You call the ID, and then you give it to one of the kids. You say to him or her, not the phone. See who it is. Because you don't want to talk to them. And then your innocent son is young, and he doesn't know the meaning of lying. You look at it and say, Assalamu alaikum. And then the person on the other end would say, Wa alaikum assalam. I want to talk to your dad. Is he here? And then the kid is going to point at his dad like saying, what shall I do? What shall I say? And then the dad would say like this. And he means to tell the boy, tell him I'm not here. And then the boy wouldn't understand, like, what do you mean by this? He's going to be confused. And then he said, like, that, what do you mean? It's like, don't talk loudly because the uncle on the other end is going to hear you. Come close, come close. And he whispered to the kid saying, tell him my dad is not here. And then the innocent kid will go back to the phone and say, Assalamu alaikum uncle, my dad is telling you, he's not here. What is that? as lying. That's a major sin. And of course, we don't think that we are teaching our kids professional lying. And this is what happens. Same thing, I'm not going to pick on the mothers only. And I know that most of, if not all, the audience are sisters. Let me just bash you too, if you allow me. Sometimes somebody would knock on the door, may get your daughter to give the door, and then it's the auntie that you don't want to see, or the friend that you don't want to talk to. And then your kid will come back and say, "Hey mom, it's, you know, auntie so and so." And you tell her, "No, go back and tell her my mom's sleeping." And then again the innocent girl will go out and say, "Hey auntie, my mom's telling you that she's sleeping. MashaAllah, she talks in her sleep." Isn't that funny? Still, this is lying. So back to the topic. Sometimes we do things without realizing that we are teaching our kids a very bad habit, a major sin, which is lying. So please stay away from this. Anyway, so back to major sins. How can we make tawbah from major sins? There are four conditions to make tawbah. And the first one, or let me just talk about the three ones first. Three of them relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one relates to human beings. As for the three relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first one is al-iqla' al-dhanb, to quit that sin. And when you do quit the sin, it should be only with one sincere intention, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you mean? You think I'm going to stop the sin for other reasons? Yes. Sometimes we stop the sin for the wrong reason. For example, you go to the doctor. The doctor says to someone, "You don't stop smoking, you will die. You don't stop drinking, you will die." And then the people would stop and quit drinking or smoking simply because they don't want to die, not realizing that life and death is in the hands of Allah, not in the hands of the doctor, because the doctor himself would say, and it's funny, yesterday, just a personal quick story, when I was in the operation room and the doctor, before he started, you know, I heard that he was sick the week before. So I said to him, "Is it true that you were sick last week?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "Shame on you. How can you get sick? Aren't you a doctor?" He started laughing. I said, "When I was a child, I always had that ideology, is when my dad took me to a doctor. And the doctor himself was coughing and sneezing. And I told my dad, 'Let's get out of here. This man is going to infect us.' He said, 'This is the doctor.' I said, 'Wow, doctor? He needs a doctor. He's sick.'" And subhanAllah, when we quit the sin, we quit the sin only to please Allah. Because Allah is the one who will cure us, and Allah is going to be the one who will help us to quit the sin. So number one, quit the sin only to please Allah. Number two, al-nadam, you have a sense of regret and remorse when you have committed such sins. And as It is reported in Muslim Imam Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us good news. Would you like to know the good news? Still some interaction, because it's very difficult to talk to a camera or to a PC. Maybe just some response. That's what I do. I usually use clip hangers. I don't know how to use this online. Okay. So the good news from the Prophet about regret and remorse, when the person wants to go back to Allah and repent, he said, "An-nadamu tawbah." The sense of guilt, the sense of remorse in itself is tawbah, is repentance. Why? Because also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, informed us through the Prophet in a Qudsi hadith that when a person says astaghfirullah, and he or she means it from the heart, which means I seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to the angel upon hearing that, saying, عَلِمَ عَبْدِي أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يُؤَاخِذُ بِالذَّنْبِ. Meaning, my servant knows that he has a master or a lord or a rabb who will hold him or her accountable for their sins. أُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ. Or my angels bear witness that I have forgiven him or her. Just up and saying, oh Allah, forgive me. But not lip service, it should be meant, because sometimes we say things that we don't mean, and we mean things that we don't say. But with Allah, we have to say what we mean, and we have to mean what we say. I hope you guys are taking notes, because I'm a professional, and I might quiz you at the end. So just be careful. Okay. I'm so sorry for the quality of my speech, because I really feel too weak, but I don't want to apologize. So please, please, just pray with me and forgive me for that. So, we covered so far how many conditions for Tawbah? Two. And we said how many of them relate to Allah? Three. First one is al-iqla' an al-dhanb, to clear the sin. Second one is to have a sense of regret, remorse, that you committed the sin. Third, it's called al-azm al-akid ala adam al-awda ila al-ma'siyah marra ukhra. Third one is to have a strong resolve, to have a strong determination not to go back and commit the same sin again. And there are many things that will help you to do that. First of all, change your company. When I say your company, it doesn't mean where you were. You're just trying to be funny. It means to change your friends. And also change the environment where you live. And take away things that will remind you of that sin. If it's a laptop, if it's some pictures, if whatever it is, if it's some books, it's some magazines. So these are the three conditions relating to Allah. Iqla', nadam, azm. Iqla', quit the sin. Nadam, regret and remorse that you committed the sin. As a strong resolve and determination not to go back and commit the sin. The fourth condition relates to your fellow human beings. And the scholar said, it is Rabbul Mawalim, Istidra'ul Dhiman, meaning restitution of rights and asking people for forgiveness if you have wronged them, if you have taken anything from them. So رَبِّ الْمَظَالِمِ, meaning, if you have taken anything from anyone, give it back. Give it back in this dunya while you still have some materialistic things in your hands. For example, if you have taken something as little as a CD, as a book, whatever it is. Sometimes we borrow a pen, some gold, whatever it is, just give it back. And sometimes we borrow things and just like forget about them and we keep them. And our friends will be shy to ask them back. And when it comes to the rights of people, it could be one of two. It could be like something concrete, something tangible, something that you can touch, or something abstract. When it comes to things that are materialistic, things that are concrete, you have to give them back. And somebody might ask me, what if I lost it, or it's something disposable, I consumed it, for example, then the answer would be, buy something similar to it. And give it back. What if there's nothing similar to it? Or what if I give it back, it will cause me a setback in my tawbah and my repentance? People will discover that I'm the one who took this, and it's going to embarrass me in front of my friends and my community. In this case, I'll do my best, inshallah, to... Is that better, inshallah? Okay. Can you just let me know if the voice is better this way, so I can just try to speak louder? Okay. So, the last point I was talking about was, what if the thing that I took from someone is disposable, or I consumed it, so I said buy something similar to it and give it back. Are you asking me, or I can't see the camera to give it to you, or are you asking the moderator?
I always crash my mind when I... So, yes, as I said, so you buy something similar to it and give it. If there's nothing similar to it, and if this is going to cause you a setback or embarrassment, what you need to do is give sadaqah, give some charity, but in the name of that person that you took something from, the intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward them and forgive them, like extra voluntary acts of worship, like establishing like prayers, like fasting Mondays and Thursdays out of Ramadan, the 3 days in the middle of the lunar calendar, what about if the person is left the country or passed away? Again, charity, in their name, inshallah. Okay, this is about the concrete rights. What about the abstract ones? For example, you slandered someone, you gossiped someone. And I know that this is the biggest challenge for your sisters. I'm sorry to be picking on all of you today. Even though it's my first time to talk to you. But I always say that the biggest challenge for sisters is their tongue. Do you agree with me or agree? Okay. Oh, okay. Since some people are saying agree, then they are there. Yes, okay. So, I like it when the sisters are really honest, because some sisters get offended by that. Yeah, so controlling our time is a very big challenge. It's, in fact, it's for both men and women, but for women more. And so if we slander someone, if we gossip, if we talk to them and ask them for forgiveness if they're still alive and have access to them. And we don't have to give them a list. We don't have to go and like say, sister, you know what? I said this and this and this and this about you. No, we just go to her and it's like, you know what? I wronged myself at some point of time and I made mistakes and you all make mistakes. So if I have wronged you in any way, if I have said anything about you, whether in your presence or in your absence, please forgive me. If this is going to cause you a problem and that person have issues with anger and they're going to get mad at you, so again, as I said, or if you can find them, same thing. Do lots of no effort. Do lots of stuff for ask Allah for forgiveness, do extra voluntary acts of worship, and also give charity, give sadaqah in their name, inshallah, with the intention that Allah would forgive you and give them the reward for that charity, inshallah. Otherwise, these people will come on the day of judgment right before you make it to Jannah, after you pass all the stages, including the Sirat, which is above hellfire, and then they're going to claim their rights back. You know, your good deeds. So they're going to take your good deeds. And if you run out of good deeds, their bad deeds will be taken away from them and added to your record. And then the person will be unfortunately going back to hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Okay, let's move on to the last three questions. And the next one would be, who should make tawbah? And sometimes we think highly of ourselves and we think we're too good, mashallah. And alhamdulillah, you ask somebody like that, do you pray? They're going to say, yeah, alhamdulillah. You know, I could eat, mashallah. He's like, oh, okay. And he would say, like, my dad is a bit extreme. He prays Jum'ah too. And then my mom is really, really extreme and she prays like two times a day. And indeed, subhanAllah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, despite the fact that he was promised Jannah while he was still walking on earth, one time they came to him and they found him, you know, trying to tie his tongue. And they say, well, what are you doing? And he said, subhanAllah, nothing is going to take me to hellfire except the harvest of this, and he's holding it. What should we say today? You know, what do we say over the phone when we talk over 15 minutes talking about this person and that person? And we take it lightly. We don't know that this is a major sin. And the punishment for that would be that you will be offered the dead body of that person in the day of judgment, and you'll have to eat from it. And Allah told us this in Surah number 49, Surah Al-Hujurat. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not backbite one another. Do not slander one another. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Would you love to eat the dead flesh, the dead body of your brother or sister? Who would do that? So anyway, let's go back. And ask ourselves, who should make tawbah? Any of ourselves, and it's like, I'm good enough, I don't have to make tawbah. You know, if I pray, and I fast, and I give zakah, and I did hajj, alhamdulillah, and I give sadaqah, so I'm fine. Do you know that our beloved Prophet used to establish the whole night until his feet would swell, and Aisha radiallahu anha would say, Prophet of Allah, have mercy on yourself. Allah promised the Prophet that he would forgive all his past and future sins, and I don't know any. I mean, nobody can tell me like one sin committed by the Prophet. And even though Allah promised him, if you have any sins, I have forgiven the past and the future. Despite that, he'd be standing all the night praying. And I should say, have mercy on yourself, Prophet of Allah. Say, if Allah has done this to me, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shouldn't I show gratitude? Shouldn't I be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, basically, we need to know that we should all make tawbah. But still, I'm sure that some of you are not convinced. I'm good enough. I don't know. I don't need to do tawbah. I'll tell you this. The Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ ابْنِ آدَمَ خَطَّاءُ. Uh-oh. What do you mean? In Arabic, that means all the sons of Adam. And when I say sons here, I'm not biased in translation. Like, it means whether males or females, that all the children of Adam. Khatta, he didn't say khata or muqta. But he said khatta. And khatta in the Arabic language, ala wazn fa'al, sighat mubalagha. So it's a form of exaggeration, meaning all the sons of Adam are in a constant state of sinning. Stop now and reflect. How many sins do you commit today? And sometimes you think a sin means that I have to do something. No. Sometimes a sin could be, I didn't do something that I should have done. Did you thank Allah today for your eyes? And above that, how many people have eyes but they don't see? Did you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the eyes and the ability to see? Or you take it for granted? Did you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today for your ears? And hold on, above that, we thank him for the ability to hear. How many people have ears but they don't hear? And the list goes on and on and on and on. Do we use what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to please him or to please ourselves? So, we need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the Prophet ﷺ said, all the sons of Adam are in a constant state of sinning, can you consider yourself an exception? Aren't you one of the children of Adam? So yes or yes? I want to see many yeses here. Aren't you one of the children of Adam? So you cannot be an exception. You cannot be an exception. So nobody can come and say, no, I'm not. So the Prophet made a statement. It's a very strong statement that all of us in a constant state of committing mistakes and sinning. Good news. Would you like to hear the good news? The Prophet ﷺ said, وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. And the best amongst those who are in a constant state of sinning are those who are in a constant state of repenting and going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't this good news? So it's not too late. Go back. Go back and ask him to forgive you. And the door is open 24/7. Now, so do we all admit now that we commit mistakes and we're not the best? Right? Yeah. One of my status on my Facebook, I wrote that statement. I said, he had lived amongst them for 40 years and he never lied one time. And then I said, how many times do we lie every day? I got lots of funny answers. Somebody said 6, somebody said 16, somebody said 40. So let's make a deal with Allah now, especially in Ramadan, that we're not going to lie. I'm going to say the truth, even if sometimes it's going to get me in trouble. You better get in trouble now in this dunya before you get in trouble in the akhirah. It's not too late. So, what we need to do is to realize that we all make mistakes. And as they say, if you go to the doctor, if you want him to treat you, you have to admit that you are sick. Am I right or right? So now, we have all to admit that we are sinners. No, we are in a constant state of sinning. Am I right or right? Which right? First right or second right or both rights? I think both rights. Okay. Okay. So, some people are still not convinced. You know, I'm good, I do this and I do that, like, you know, okay. Let me give you this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith narrated by Abu Huraira in both Bukhari and Muslim, he said, Tubu ilallahi wa astaghfiru. Turn back to Allah in repentance and ask Him for forgiveness. فَإِنِّي أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. And I make tawbah and I ask Allah for forgiveness 70 times a day. Sisters, that's the Prophet ﷺ talking. The Prophet ﷺ asked Allah for forgiveness 70 times a day. And in another narration he said 100 times a day. If the Prophet ﷺ is doing this, how many times should you and I ask Allah for forgiveness? Are you still hesitant to admit your sins and say, I need to repent? I need to go back before it's too late? Now, let's go to the Quran. If you go to Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24 and number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of this ayah said, يَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ وَتُوبُوا and do tawbah and repent. By the way, this is a verb in the imperative mood. This is a command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sisters, we are all Muslims here, right? What is the meaning of being a Muslim? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, we should give me the word. It's called... You see that? Submit. MashaAllah. I wish it was after Maghrib. I could have given you candy, because I always give candy to people who answer and give me the right question. InshaAllah, Sister Amira will do this, inshaAllah, on my behalf after iftar, inshaAllah. Yes, we should submit. Allah is commanding us. Allah is commanding us. And He's saying, وَتُوبُوا. But yet, let me continue. إِلَى اللَّهِ. Don't make tawbah to people, because sometimes we do tawbah because, oh, I'm not going to steal because people will discover this and I'm going to be embarrassed. I will not do this, I will not do that because people might know this. No, Allah said, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Your tawbah should be only to please Allah. Sincerity of intention when you make the tawbah. And then, Allah said, جَمِيعًا. Any Arabs here? Any Arabs amongst the audience? What's the meaning of the word جَمِيعًا in Arabic? All of you, no exception. Remember when the Prophet ﷺ? Yes. Remember when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu ibn Adam khata'." He said, "All the sons of Adam." Allah is also saying here, "Yatubu ila Allahi jamia," and do tawbah, all of you, all of you. And guess what? Did He say, "Ayyuhal mudhnibun," or "You sinful," or "You sinners"? أَيُّهَا الْفَاسِقُونَ, all those who wrong themselves and transgress the limits of Allah? No. Did He say, أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, all you disbelievers? No. Did He say, all you Muslims? No. MashaAllah, Sister Khadija, He said, أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, all you believers. And we all know that in this deen, we have 3 degrees. Islam, Iman and Ihsan. Right? You know Islam. I'm not talking about your cousin or Iman, your sister or Ihsan, your dad or something. No. Islam is the first degree when you accept this deen. Iman is something that you feel in the heart. And you feel the sweetness of Iman after you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you upgrade yourself, and you do more and more and more, and you go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you try to reach the level of Ihsan, which is to worship Allah as if you see Him. And if you couldn't see Allah, Allah could see you all the time. And this is the highest degree. So if Allah is telling the believers, those who have Iman, to make tawbah, what about those who are at the level of Islam only? Stop for a second, sisters, and reflect on that. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Why? It says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Meaning, so that you might achieve success. And that success will be in the dunya and the akhirah, inshaAllah. Now, are we all convinced now that we are all supposed to make tawbah? All of us. Should we make tawbah? When? Some people might say, okay, all the time, inshallah, anytime. Okay. Now, let me finish with the last three things that I promised to answer. What type of tawbah does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expect from us? Allah answered this question in Surah number 66, ayah number 8, Surah Al-Tahreem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا.
All you who believe, do you hear that? Let me say it again. All you who believe, do you hear that? Allah is not saying, Ya ayyuhal nas. I want you to listen carefully. Because Allah addresses us in three ways in the Quran. Either He says, Ya bani Adam, O children of Adam. That's general, everyone. And 20 times He says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal nas, O mankind, O people, believers and non-believers. But guess what? 89 times in the Quran, Allah says,
Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu.
All you who believe. So He's not talking to everyone, He's talking to you, sister. You left whatever you're doing and you came here to increase your level of Iman. You came here to draw closer to Allah. You came here because you care about your deen. You care about Allah. So, every time I hear Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, I remember what Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said. He said, all the time, when you hear Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, listen carefully. Because after Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, Allah is going to say, do something. Or, stay away from something. Yes. Exactly. So He's either going to command us to do something, or He's going to prohibit us and say stay away from something. So in this one, Allah said, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, and that's what I tell my students all the time. I say, when you hear Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, I want you to do like this, as Egyptians, like we do this when we're proud. I'm not saying like, you know, you shouldn't feel pride, but I'm proud to be addressed by Allah, and I wish to be amongst the true believers. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu. I'm so happy. Oh Allah, make me amongst those true believers. Oh Allah, get me to that level where I deserve to be amongst the Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu. Allah said, Tubu ila Allah. Make tawbah to Allah. Go back to Allah. What type of tawbah, oh Allah, do you expect from us? He said, Tawbatan nasuha. That's the type of tawbah Allah is expecting from us. What's the meaning of tawbatan nasuha? In Arabic, they say, نَصَحْتُ الْعَسَلِ إِذَا نَقَيْتَهُ مِنَ الشَّوَائِبِ. They say, you know, I purified the honey when I take all the waste and residues from it, so it becomes very, very pure. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, make tawbah purely for my sake. Make tawbah sincerely only to please me. That's the type of tawbah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from our sister. Is that clear? So now that we almost answered all the questions, we are left only with two before my time comes to an end, and then we'll open the floor, inshallah, for Q&A. If you can still bear with me, my horrible voice and my boring speech, inshallah. Okay. Next question is, are there any stories of people who made tawbah and Allah accepted them? Are there any people in the history of Islam who made tawbah and Allah accepted them? Lots of them. Lots of them. And I'm sure you all know. You all know. For example, the man who people. What do you call that? Serial killer, right? Yeah. So that man, he wanted to repent. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted him. You all know the story, right? Tell me if you know the story. I don't have to go into the details. You know the story of the man who killed 100 people. Perfect. Where I need to stop, just to remind you, maybe because sometimes we read the hadith quickly, and tell me if this added something to your knowledge or not. The ending of the hadith. The ending of the hadith is very important. When the angels of punishment and the angels of mercy were arguing who should take his soul, because the man only just in one narration swerved towards the land of Tawbah and then he passed away. Or another narration said that he walked a little bit but then he passed away on his way just to the land of Tawbah, but he didn't do anything good. This is why the angels of punishment were saying, you know, we are the ones who should take his soul because he's never done anything good. But then the angels of mercy were saying, no. What did they say? That's what I wanted to underline. لَقَدْ جَاءَ. Listen carefully. مُنِيبًا بِقَلْبِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And this is very, very important to understand. And I'm going to type this both languages for you so that you can put it in front of you to remember what type of tawbah and that story and what it means. That's the Arabic. And then I'm going to explain the meaning. Muniban, the first word, لَقَدْ جَاءَ مُنِيبًا. What's the meaning of muniban? It means without procrastination, without procrastination, without delay. Because you never know, I might die before I finish this talk. Any one of us, the angel of death could be with us now, and it could be the time of me or any one of you. So we shouldn't delay the tawbah. And this is why that man didn't say, okay, after the scholar told him, you should leave, you know, your people, your community, because it's a bad community, and go to that community and worship Allah with them because they're righteous people. He didn't say, okay, let me just go back home and do this and do that. No. In fact, what he did, he just left right away, without procrastination, he left to the land of Tawbah. So that's the first one. بِقَلْبِهِ means sincerely, from the heart. So sometimes we'll say, oh Allah, I'm sorry, but we don't mean it. This is why, as I said earlier, say what you mean and mean what you say when you're dealing with Allah. And there is no harm to do this also with your husband, if you have one, inshallah. Okay. Third and the last part of it, إِلَى اللَّهِ. So the tawbah was meant to Allah. And he was seeking the reward for that from Allah. He was seeking the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Now, are there other stories? Yes. In Sahih Muslim, are you following me? Because nobody's interacting. I assume that everybody's following me. In Sahih Muslim, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the love of Islam into my heart, I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and I extended my hand and I said, Prophet of Allah, give me your hand. I want to give you the pledge of allegiance. I want to be a Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam smiled and he gave his hands. But yet, Amr ibn al-As took his hand away. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Nabika ya Amr, what's wrong with you, Amr? He said, Ashtarik ya Rasulullah. I have a condition. He said, what is it? He said, An yughfara li ma kan. I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive my past. The Prophet said, don't you know that once you become a Muslim, you're a newborn? This is why I always ask the brothers and the sisters who revert back to Islam to always make dua for me and for everyone in the masjid once they take the Shahada. You know why? Because they are better than me and than everyone else who is born as a Muslim. You're newborn. You have a new slate. All their past is forgiven. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, like last week, there was a sister who was one of my students at the University of Alberta, and she came to the masjid and she took the Shahada, and I was so happy because this is the best thing you could achieve in your life, and it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, yes, Sister Aisha, you're 3 years, so you should make dua for all of us then, inshallah. And also, after we finished the first Shahada, it's amazing that a sister came on the side and said, I'm ready. Can you give me the Shahada too? And I was like, wow, Allahu Akbar. That's great. And I asked them to make dua for me and for everyone in the masjid. That's amazing, wallahi. So I would ask any of the sisters here who are reverts, whether they are 1 hour old, 1 year old, 10 years old, please, still you're better than me and than anybody who's born as a Muslim, please make dua for us, inshallah. May Allah accept from you and from us, inshallah. Say ameen. Okay. By the way, do you know the meaning? Do you know the meaning of the word ameen? You know the meaning of the word ameen? Okay. Do you know the meaning of the word ameen? Ask me at the end, inshallah. Let's not make hangout for now. Okay. Okay. So, back to the story of last story of people who accepted Islam and Allah, or people who made tawbah and Allah accepted them. You know, I told you, Sister Sarah, I said, like, ask me at the end, like, you know, check me on maghrib.org, they'll tell you, like, I'm an addict of cliffhangers, but I don't know how to do it to you online anyway. Okay, so, the last story is, like, some people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say sallallahu alayhi wasallam every time you hear his name, inshallah. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have gone to the extreme in committing all types of sins. Killing, adultery, riba, you name it, all types of sins. But we really love that which you advocate. So is there any way, if we were to accept the message that you have been sent with, is there any way that Allah would expiate our sins? And the Prophet ﷺ had no answer for them. Listen, sisters, carefully, because the coming ayat to me are the most hopeful ayat in the Quran. Just going to give you the reference for you, inshallah, but you can use this later on. It's Surah Al-Furqan, ayat 68 through 70, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in response to those people who came and they have committed all types of sins and they were looking for hope, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed those ayat because of the question of those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر,
and those who do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق,
and they do not kill or take the life of a person except for a valid reason,
ولا يزنون,
and they do not commit fornication or adultery.
ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما,
and whoever does that, they will receive severe punishment.
يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة,
and the punishment for those people will be multiplied on the day of judgment.
ويخلد فيه مهانا,
in humiliation for eternity. Listen to the good news. Listen to the ending of the ayat.
إلا من تاب, إلا من تاب,
except for those who make tawbah, except for those who repent. What's waiting for them?
وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا,
they repent and they believe and they do righteous deeds. What's the reward from Allah?
فأولئك يبدل الله, فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما.
الله أكبر. Not only would Allah forgive the person who would make tawbah, but Allah, out of His bounty and grace, He would replace the record of bad deeds with the record of good deeds. Allahu Akbar. Sisters, if I were to make tawbah right now, and I'm the worst person amongst you, if I have a record of 2 million bad deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would replace it with a record of 2 million deeds. Would you still procrastinate tawbah after hearing this ayat? Would you miss this opportunity to replace your record of bad deeds with a record of good deeds? Would you? And let me conclude with the last question. When should I make them? When should I go back? Go back before it's too late. And the answer is in the Quran. It's Surah number 31, and that's Surah Luqman. And the ayah is number 34, the last ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٌ.
Nobody knows what provision, how much would they make tomorrow, and nobody knows where or when they're going to die. Sisters, if you know when you're going to die, delay tawbah. Because the Prophet said, Allah will accept tawbah as long as the soul did not reach here. Bone of bones. So Allah will always accept our tawbah as long as we are still alive and the soul did not reach here. But out of his mercy, Allah didn't tell us when we're going to die. Because if Allah were to tell us when we're going to die, people would be so depressed when they know that they have only 1 hour, or 1 year, or 1 month to live. And guess what? When people hear this from doctors, they get so depressed. Even though doctors do not know, they just like tell you that you might or you are likely to die after 4 months because of this cancer or this or that. And subhanAllah, how many people outlive the doctors and they live for 4 years or 40 years after that? Yes, it's Surah Luqman, as I mentioned, 31, the Surah 31 and the Ayah number 34, yes. So since we don't know when we're going to die, when should we make tawbah, sisters? When? When should we make tawbah? Yes, 1 hour ago. Not too late. Make it now. And remember, I'm going to conclude with this. Allah said in Surah number 49, Al-Hujurat, Ayah number 11, at the end of it, Allah said,
وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ.
And those who do not make tawbah, they are a zalimun. So Allah is dividing us into two types, تائبون or ظالمون. Innovone, injustice, oppression. Would you like to be among the تائبون or ظالمون? I'm sure that all of you want to be amongst the At-Ta'ibun. Let's do it now. Stay away from At-Ta'ibun. Thank you so much for listening. I hope I added something to you. And again, I apologize, wallahi, you know, for the bad quality of my voice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who listen to the speech and follow the best of it. I see you and have a better quality of a voice. And I will share, you know, much more of the humor that I used to share in my lectures. Okay, what does Ameen mean? MashaAllah, I like that. inshallah. Ameen means Allahumma stajib wa taqabbal. And I think, mashallah, one of the sisters somewhere wrote that. And by the way, it's not an Arabic word, it's an Abyssinian word, which means Allahumma stajib wa taqabbal. Oh Allah, accept our dua. And this is why we usually say it after Al Fatiha, only in the Salah. In congregation. MashaAllah. That's exactly, that's the ayah, MashaAllah. JazakAllah khair, sister. That's ayah number 34 in Surah Luqman, which is Surah number 31. And the last part of it, and no one knows what land they will die. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our death an honorable death. And at a moment of obedience to Him, because my dua is always, O Allah, take my soul while I'm in a state of sujood in the middle of the night. Ameen. Inshallah, inshallah. The honor will be mine, inshallah, and I'd love to come. And you can follow me, inshallah, on, you can, like my page, and this is exactly how my name would appear in Facebook, if you Facebook, and on Twitter also it's like my name. So inshallah, maybe you could benefit from the post that I put there, inshallah. Okay, should I just answer the questions right away? Inshallah, inshallah. It will be my honor to come back, inshallah. Back in the here.
Do you want me to read the questions for you, or do you want to just go down the wall and read them and answer? And
the idea is like I think I get like the it keeps scrolling, so it will be difficult. Or would they be at the moderator's chat or at the same one?
I'll read them as I get them, Maggie. If you'll put them in the moderator chat, inshallah. If a person has taken Shahada and wish to repent, can they take Shahada again?
Alhamdulillah. When it comes to Shahada, once you take the Shahada, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has forgiven all your past. And like, you start like practicing Islam, inshallah, you know, like the Salah, the Zakah, the Siyam, the Hajj. But then if you committed sins, which we all do along the way, you can go back and repent. But you don't have to take Shahada again because you're already a Muslim, inshallah. If you need more, like if my answer is not enough, just please let me know. You need to ask for more clarification.
Okay, the next question is, how can we know when we are sincere in asking for forgiveness?
Sincerity is a secret of the heart. I mean, nobody can answer this question except you, because you know exactly, you know, you feel it in your heart. And you can see the consequence after what you do it sincerely from the heart. You can get the benefit of it. You can reap the benefit of it. So, you know, sometimes we say things just with our tongues because like we're in trouble. For example, if your dad or if your husband or if your boss, whatever it is, somebody has authority over you, they say something, and then like you feel like you know just to get away from them. So it's like okay. So you say things that you don't mean them, but if you say Astaghfirullah and you mean it from the heart, it will bring tears to your eyes, and you can feel it inside. You know the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, by Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ. You would, like, you would feel the sweetness of Iman. مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّهِ. If you are content with Allah as your master, وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ and with Islam as your deen, and وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger. So you can feel it, like, you know, how many times have you prayed? A few times when you prayed and you felt like some peace and tranquility deep inside. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So this is how you feel it. And of course you will see like the impact of this on your enjoyment of the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes we read the Quran and like we don't interact with it. But if you read the Quran with sincerity, it will bring tears to your eyes. It will hit you in the heart. Now, for example, if you're listening to my talk, just like, you know, it just comes to your ears and it will drop at your ears. But if you are listening with the good intention, with sincerity, it will hit you in the heart. And you will see, like, it makes sense. Does this make sense to you?
Okay, we have one last question. Which promise in the verse 25 of Surah Al-Mulk, what does this mean?
The promise? what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the disbelievers of Mecca, while they were talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, like if you just, you know, the Prophet sallallahu used to talk to them about the fact that, you know, there's a day of judgment, but they used to deny that. Even like if you just go to the ayah right before it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ, you know, He's the one who, you know, multiplied you on earth. He created you on earth and caused you to procreate and multiply. And then He said, وَإِلَيْهِ تَبْشَرُونَ. And to Him is resurrection. To Him, it will be a day when you will be gathered. This is al-hashr. And you will be held accountable for what you have done. But they used to say in here, إِلَّا حَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا. So like we were dead, we come to life, and then we'll die. Namut after this life. So the Prophet said, no, day of judgment, day of judgment. And this is the main theme in Juz al-Tabarak. And this is the first surah in Juz al-Tabarak. So when Allah said, وَإِلَيْهِ تَحْشَرُونَ, they said, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. It's a state, like it's a statement in the form of a question. You know, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. So the disbelievers of Mecca, out of mockery, they are like, you know, ridiculing the Prophet ﷺ. They say, you keep promising us that there is a, like, there's a day when we'll be resurrected. When is that day? Out of mockery. They're not asking because they want to know, but they're making fun of Him because they don't believe in that. So the promise here, in fact, it's not a promise, it's a warning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's amazing when you see, let me type this to you, so for those who are Arabs, they will benefit from that, and also the guys will know something. There's a difference between these two words, al-wa'd. The first one is promise. But the second one is warning of resurrection and the day of judgment. For those people who disobey, it is warning. But why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say al-wa'd? Because if Allah is warning them now, it's something good, as if it's like it's a promise. If you stop being stubborn, if you stop disbelieving, so it's a promise for you, you will take heed from now, then you'll get away from the punishment, so it's a promise of Jannah, if you accept it and believe. But yet it's a warning, and the warning, if it is not too late, it's something good. So it's like a promise. You stop doing this, you'll be rewarded. So al-wa'd here means, you know, it is the promise that fiction. And this is why they are saying, in kuntum sadiqeen, if you are telling us the truth. And this is why the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. Oh Muhammad, say to them, the knowledge of that day, the knowledge of that promised day, is only with Allah. It's only Allah who knows the day of judgment. You know? And then he said at the end, وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. Between promise and warning, وعد and وعيد. And this is the word نذير also. So نذير is somebody who carries a warning to you. And Bashir is the opposite, somebody who carries a good news for you. So the Prophet ﷺ was Bashir and Nadir. So Bashir coming with good news for those who submit and believe that they will go to Jannah. And Nadir, like a warning for those who choose to be stubborn and that answers the question. And it's amazing, subhanAllah, that you will find...
JazakAllah khair. MashaAllah. That was the last question. And alhamdulillah, we want to thank you for speaking with us today, especially after having surgery. SubhanAllah, I mean, truly, that is, it really means so much to us.
JazakAllah khairan. Thank you so much for having me. And inshallah, I'll do my best, inshallah, whatever time I would be able, inshallah, to come back and join you, inshallah. It's going to be my pleasure, inshallah.
You definitely have the email, so when you have time in your busy schedule, please let me know and I will work you in, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Barakallah feek. And please remember me all in your dua, inshallah, and my family too. And I remember you all, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair, and you will be in ours as well.
Inshallah, jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.